Barack Obama will address the US later today via TV to discuss the government's counter-terrorism efforts in the wake of last week's San Bernardino shooting. Gun control expected to be on the agenda. It's a sad reality that in some disadvantaged parts of the United States, it's easier to get a gun than a job. Gun violence is a key part of tonight's Foreign Correspondent Special by Sally Sara.
How would you explain to mothers in Australia how serious the problem of gun violence is here in Chicago?
They'll come here. They'll come.
You can't even let your kids outside. For that matter, you can't go outside. You got a chance of getting killed, or your kid getting killed.
The program looks at also the Black Lives Matter social media campaign designed to stop violence against and among black Americans. Sally Sara with us now. Good morning.
Morning, James.
This was an amazing piece of film you've put together. And, you know, we have a black president in the White House. That was supposed to be a huge step forward, and of course it was in so many ways, but it's clear that so little has changed in terms of violence.
We certainly saw that in Chicago. On the weekend that we were filming in Chicago, there were 50 shootings, so it's basically a shooting every hour. You can imagine if that was being carried out by terrorists, there'd be every SWAT team in the country roaming the streets, the city would be on lockdown, but this is neighbourhood violence, black-on-black violence predominantly. And it's something that unfolds weekend after weekend. One of the cases that we followed, a 14-year-old boy was just going for a walk up the street to play some basketball with friends. He was shot in a random drive-by shooting that was six blocks away from President Obama's house in Chicago. So it's extraordinary to watch that unfold. It was actually the first time since I'd been in Afghanistan that had been an environment where shooting was going on, and you really didn't know what was going to happen next. When and where. We kind of had our plans for Chicago, but Chicago had its plans for us.
Well, you were at a small basketball game, not a big competition, just something organised by a priest. And one of the people at that game was then shot.
Yeah, this was a peace basketball tournament, so it was to get some of the local guys together to sort out their differences on the court rather than on the street. And one of the teenagers who took part on that, the next morning he was on his way to McDonald's to get some breakfast, and he was shot in the face and killed as well. So there was a feeling for a few days there that everywhere we turned something was going on. And even for us out in the street, the local people were incredibly welcoming, but you don't know what's going to happen. You know, if they're going to shoot a 14-year-old kid, well, why would something not happen to a film crew standing on a corner? Or so I was kind of the mother hen, as our producer Matt and our cameraman Greg were both filming. When they had their eye on the camera, you know, I'm trying to sort of keep lookout as to what's going on. And people were driving past, and some people doing gang signs out of the car window and going round and round and round again. And you think, what's going to happen here? So what it must be like as a parent trying to keep kids safe in that environment, I just can't imagine.
And it was extraordinary production and camera work. You wait till you see it on the Foreign Correspondent tonight. There's two parts to the story. One is, they call black-on-black violence, these drive-by shootings, and also then there's police-on-black violence, and that's why you go to Baltimore.
We did. Baltimore's about an hour's drive from the White House in the US. It's a small city now. Since the 50s, it's lost 100,000 jobs and about a third of its population. So if you ever watch that drama series called The Wire, you would have seen some of the terrace houses all kind of boarded up. That's exactly what you see in West Baltimore. Our reason for going there was to have a look at the issue of the disintegrating relationship between the police and the African-American community, which has really spawned this whole movement, this hashtag and social movement that began under the name of Black Lives Matter.
So tell us about Tyrone West.
So Tyrone West is one of the cases that we followed. He died after police tried to arrest him in 2013. We spoke to his sister, Tawanda, who's a local preschool teacher in Baltimore, and she actually took us in the car, the same car that Tyrone was driving that night, back to the spot where it happened. And every Wednesday night, Tawanda, her family and supporters hold a demonstration called West Wednesday in honour of Tyrone West to keep trying pushing for answers. When we were there, it was the 114th week in a row that they'd held West Wednesday, still trying to get some answers and to get some charges laid over this death.
And more recently, Freddie Gray, the man who had his neck broken in the back of a police van, triggered all those riots. He died, 6 police indicted.
That's right. This is a really big case in Baltimore and one that we wanted to have a look at as well. So Freddie Gray was picked up from a street corner in West Baltimore. He never even made it to the cells. He had a spinal injury in the back of the police van and died a week later. That triggered a huge uprising on the streets in Baltimore. Cars and buildings set on fire. People built up frustration, really just exploded. So we were speaking to some people who were involved in that and watched all of that unfold and trying to understand why. Why was it this particular death that really kicked things off?
And you have a serving police officer who speaks on the condition of anonymity, saying police are outraged that the fellow officers were indicted.
They're really shocked. They worry that they could be next, that you could be performing an arrest and this could also happen. The police officer was also saying to us, you know, everyone's up on social media now. Everyone's got a cell phone. People are getting their cell phones out when police are arresting someone. And this police officer was saying, where are the cell phones when people are robbing people, when things are going on? That in his view, people are very selective in what they're filming. Why aren't they coming forward with videos of crime that's going on in the neighbourhood? He said, you go to arrest someone and there'll be 20 people standing around with cell phones filming what's going on, and it kind of, in his view, escalates the situation.
And, well, the Freddie Gray thing may or may not be an accident, his death, that'll be determined. It comes in this context where black people, especially in the back of paddy wagons, get knocked around. They have this thing called the rough ride where they shackle your arms, shackle your ankles, and then drive roughly so the person's knocked against the metal. And in 10 years, I've read 2 people have been paralysed from the neck down. This in a city half the size of Adelaide.
That's right. It's a very small city. So the police are really trying to rebuild their relationship with the community, but it's fractured. We just felt in a lot of areas it was just hatred and contempt towards the police and incredible distrust. So for those police who are trying to do the right thing, it's really, really hard to build up any kind of relationship given the kind of history that's there.
And back to Chicago. You have a wonderful conversation with a priest. Tell me about him.
We were speaking with Father Michael Flegger, who organised the basketball tournament. He was a young teenager when Martin Luther King came to town in Chicago, and he decided on that day that he would forever work towards civil rights. He's a white Catholic priest, and he's regarded as an absolute treasure on the south side of Chicago. The people adore him.
Should we have a listen to what he has to say? Let's go.
I love it. I love it because there's people, young people rising up and saying we're tired. We're tired of feeling like we're disposables in America. And, you know, people say, no, we shouldn't say Black Lives Matter. We should just say All Lives Matter. No. We know about White Lives Matter in this country. We say Black Lives Matter because the fact this country has told Black Lives they don't matter. It's a cry of saying, yes, we do. And so we've got to validate that. Stop trying to steal it and co-opt it.
And you can hear more of Father Michael on journalist Sally Sara's documentary, Black Lives Matter. Congratulations.
Thank you, James.
That's tonight, ABC 1, 8:30.